Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree, and I'm the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, and abundance for Black women. Today, I want to talk about how it's okay to let people struggle. Now, hear me out. It's probably not what you think, but it is okay to let people struggle, number one. And number two, I guess, as an aside, it's also okay to make room for people to miss you and the way that you always chip in. So I'm going to talk about that today because I know a lot of us struggle with that. We want to step in and fix things and things like that. But I'm going to tell you why that is a detriment, okay? And also, I guess, give you permission in case you need it, which I don't feel like you do. But sometimes we just need to hear someone else say this and be real with us, that it is okay for you to step back, step away, and again, allow people to struggle. So before I go into that really quickly, first of all, I want to shout out a listener. Her name is Zaire. Hey girl, hey. Hopefully you're listening to this episode. Just wanted to shout her out. She has been listening to the podcast for a minute. So wanted to again say hey. And then second of all, sometimes I do like to share what I have done in regards to my own personal self-care in the last few, you know, days, weeks, or just this month, if there's an area of focus or whatever. So I will just say there have been several things that I have done for myself or in regards to self-care. One thing that instantly comes to mind is that I went on kind of like a nature walk. There is a park, a huge, huge, huge park near my home. And I've only been there maybe like, well, there's two sides to the park. One side that's kind of like more nature centered, I had never been there. And then the other side is just like a huge, like it's a really big, really big park. Like when I drove around, it was probably at least 3 or 4 or 5 miles just driving around the entire park. So went there recently, both sides, and really just had time, several hours to just be outdoors next to some trees and turtles and squirrels and butterflies or whatever else was in the area. And I tell you, like when you make space to touch a tree, to feel some grass, to walk through some mud or some muck and some dirt, it just really does something for you. I promise you. When I came back home, I was in such a good mood. I just felt so good. The sun was shining and it was just kissing my skin and just kind of like feeling the breeze. And again, just seeing all the nature and the trees and the things like that. It was just really, really nice. And I promise you, if you have not had a chance to do that in the last few weeks or last few months, girl, get yourself to some place where you can really just be immersed in that type of environment. I know that it isn't always feasible, but if you can maybe, if you have to drive like an hour outside of your way, or, you know, book a weekend or something along those lines, that part of us reconnecting with nature, it's mandatory. A lot of us live in cities, high rises, apartment buildings, and besides work and home and just, you know, that kind of routine and rhythm, we're not really connecting with that side. And so I do believe that that is a detriment for us. It's a detriment for us physically. It's a detriment for us emotionally. It's a detriment for us spiritually. And that's all connected, obviously, right? No matter what you believe in. And if you've been listening for a while, obviously, you know, I believe in God. I'm a follower of Christ. And I, of course, I believe that Christ or God created all these things, and He created this, or God created these things specifically for a reason. And we get so caught up in just everything, right? Life and the things that we prioritize, when really sometimes it's just the simple things that God created that are much more important. And when we do those things consistently, they really pour into our self-care / well-being / mental health bucket. But we just get so far removed from certain things and just so out of touch, just because, you know, we're just living our lives and just, you know, trying to do the best that we can. So if you, again, haven't had a chance to get outside into somebody's nature, hike a trail, walk a trail, go to the beach, put your feet in the sand, go somewhere and ground, somewhere that's safe for you to do so. I'm trying to think of where else, like somewhere if you can go and just sit and listen to some water, a pond, a river, a beach, like I said, the ocean. But yes, reconnecting with nature, not later. I don't know what that word came from, but reconnecting with nature, it will do your body good. It will do your spirit good. And that is what we need. That is what we need. Again, especially since we're holed up in the house, holed up in our 9-to-5s. We're not getting enough sun. We're not getting enough air. We're not getting enough just those kind of things, feeling dirt and trees and grass and all that stuff. But again, I'll just end it and just say that it will definitely, I promise you, it will do your body some good to get outside, get outdoors, and get reconnected with something that is, you know, centered, rooted in nature, like getting back to the roots of who we are and where we came from. Okay. We didn't come from office buildings, right? We didn't come from high rises. We didn't. That's just facts. We are not created of that type of environment. That's not where we come from. So getting into nature just helps, even in the smallest capacity, just in, on some, I feel like, spiritual or cellular level, it helps us to just reconnect to our roots. Okay. All right. So go out there and do something wild in the next few days, next few weeks. I promise that your body and your spirit and your mental health, they're just going to thank you for that. All right. Enough said about that. Okay. So getting back to the point of today's episode, I promise you, I mean this with the most love, the most respect, the most just, you know, sister, friend, auntie capacity I could ever extend from my heart. But some of y'all, and I'm including myself, so don't come for me, but when I say y'all, I'm including me too. Some of y'all do way too much. You're just doing the most. You are doing way too much. Okay. When it comes to specific people in our life, like our children, let's just say our children. But it really can, this can apply to other family members or people that you know, your friends or, you know, old acquaintances or just whatever. And we are just people that just care so much about others. I know that that's a big reason why sometimes I just do way too much, is because I care about others. And there's nothing wrong with caring about others. There really isn't. Sometimes you have an opportunity to make someone's day and they're just so happy. I feel like sometimes happiness is a drug, and maybe it is some type of mood alterer. I'm sure it is. But sometimes I feel like happiness is a drug. So sometimes we'll do things because we want to get that euphoric feeling, in my opinion. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. Not at all. But there are times when we are just doing too much. So let me give you an example of, in my opinion, a time when I'm like, yay, I made someone's day and it really made me happy and the other person happy and it wasn't a hindrance, versus I'm doing too much and I'm actually hindering that person just because I want to see them happy. Does that make sense? So recently went to Disneyland. Y'all know, or no, you don't know, but well, you know, if you've been listening for a minute, you know, I'm on the West Coast. I'm in California, born and raised. And obviously we have Disneyland here in Anaheim, California, and we have passes this year. Sometimes we'll just get an annual pass and we just go as often as possible. I'm a big kid at heart, in case you didn't know. And I need something, and I feel like we all do, but I need something that I can connect to that makes me still feel like a goofy, nerdy, little happy kid at heart. And some years Disneyland just does not do that for me. So you won't see me there ever. And then I'll get a little bug and you know, a little itch. And I'm like, okay, we're getting passes again. And we're gonna go as many times as possible. We are, as of this recording, we're now in March. I would say from January to early March, I've probably gone to Disneyland maybe, I don't know, 5 times already, and definitely plan on going more times than that. So back to what I was saying, an example of how it really was just truly not a hindrance, but so in other words, I wasn't doing too much and I really made someone's day, and it also made me happy too. So I had gone on a ride and it was Grizzly Bear Rapids. I think that's what it's called. Grizzly Bear Rapids. It's like a water ride or whatever. Like you're on these quote unquote roaring rapids, right? And anyway, you get into this like inner tube thing, and there's maybe like 7-8 people all in a circle on this kind of like inner tube, and you just go through these little fake rapids. All right, the ride's maybe like 5-7 minutes long, okay? And obviously there's a few little bumps and drops and you get splashed and blah blah blah. So I was riding the ride solo, and I sat with this family. Coincidentally, this was it was like a Hispanic or Latino family, and they were so cool. Hey, side note here, if you are not getting out of your comfort zone, I really want you to, because you're gonna be missing out on pockets of joy if you don't. When I sat with this Latino family and we started just like joking around, and it felt like I was kind of like with family, if that makes any sense. And it was probably the highlight of my day, just hanging out with those people for like 10 minutes. It was awesome. And we're just laughing, and it just felt really good for my spirit. It was kind of like a balm for my spirit, just how I connected with them. Okay. Anyway, so one of the little kids on the ride, she was crying. She was scared to be on the ride. So the entire time, she's probably like 7 years old, right? 7-8 years old. And she's crying. She was not in any danger, but she was obviously scared of the ride. And so after we had gone through the ride and everything, and we were about to get off, something in me said, hey, because I had bought my daughter these, what is it called? Grogu, Baby Yoda, like these light up ears. They were like 20, 30 bucks. Okay. They weren't expensive. And my daughter said she didn't want them. So first of all, I was miffed, like, excuse me. But I was like, okay, I'll just exchange them or get my money back or whatever. I didn't really care. And so, again, I was single rider on this ride. And so when we get to the end, and again, the girl's like shaking up and whatever, I just, in my spirit, I was like, just give her the ears. You know, they're kind of like Mickey Mouse ears, but they were in the shape of Yoda ears, and they were green and they light up. Okay. And I was like, yeah. So at the end, I was like talking to her, and she had mentioned Yoda. And I was like, you like Yoda? And she was like, yeah. And she's still kind of crying, yeah. And I was like, how much do you like Yoda? And she was like, a lot. And I was like, okay. And I just reached in my bag. I said, and if I give you something, will it brighten up your day a little bit, since you were so brave on this ride? And she was like, yeah. And so I pulled them out. They still had the tag on them and everything. And I just gave them to her. And the smile and the joy that this little girl had from such a simple little gift, it just made my day. it made my day to be able to connect with a little human on that level for something that probably just was the one of the best things that might have happened to them for the week. You know what I'm saying? So it was just a win-win. And the family, they were so nice and so happy and all that stuff. And it was just a really good vibe, okay? So that to me was just like how I was allowing happiness in without doing too much, because it really wasn't a sacrifice for me, number one. But it made my day, it made her day, and you know, just kind of like honored her for being so brave on the ride. All right, so that's an example. Now here is where it's like that spirit of wanting to give and to get people out of jams and things like that, that here's where it can be a hindrance. Okay, there is a kind of like an opposite side of that, where you are wanting to lift someone up at every single opportunity, and you're not allowing them space to struggle. You're not allowing them space to figure things out on their own. You're not allowing them space to feel various emotions. You want them to be in this constant state of happiness, which is not natural for anyone, by the way. No one on this planet was built to be happy 24 hours a day and never feel any other emotions but like pleasure or joy or happiness, right? That's not what makes us human. There's got to be some balance in those emotions, because it is okay to not only be happy, but to also be sad. It is okay to not only be happy, but to also grieve. It is okay to not only be happy, but also to be angry or to be disappointed or to be upset. And I feel like when you allow someone space to feel those emotions, they're able to work through some things that will not only be, you know, it'll help them to really recognize when those good times come, right? Those are the moments, okay? So you're kind of like not allowing them that, but also it's like you cannot allow people not to feel their feelings, because again, I think that it's a part of just our human process to be able to go through these different emotions. And I just feel like when you are quick to rush in and always please, always make someone happy, you're hindering them. You're stunting them. You're not allowing them to figure out how they feel and why they feel that way, and if that's okay for them to feel that way, and you know, that kind of thing, if that makes sense. Hopefully you're following what I'm saying here, right? But it's a hindrance to always want to rush in, and it's hard for me because I'm a mom. I'm a mom, okay? I'm a mom, and I didn't want my child to struggle. So unfortunately, because I knew what it was like to struggle, I knew what it was like to struggle in not a quote unquote normal way, because there's a difference between experiencing emotions and struggling versus, wait, there's a difference between like experiencing, you know, ups and downs of life and that kind of thing, but also being supported, because that's key. Okay, versus going through life, really experiencing some shitty things, excuse my French, and not being supported. Okay, there's a difference, right? I want to point that out. So as a mom, I know a lot of you are mothers to be, planning on being mothers possibly one day in the future. You know, it's hard for you to see your child struggle. It's hard to see when your child is not happy. I know that there are people, I'm not at this level, my daughter's not that of that age, but I'm sure there are older people that have older children, and maybe they're struggling financially. And of course, you want to help your child, and you do, but they're at some point, you know what I mean? It's like, when does it stop? When do you stop trying to make them happy? When do you stop trying to shield them from life's realities so that they can kind of like, you know, stub their toe, for example, see that it hurts, heal from that, and say, you know what, next time I'm gonna wear shoes so that I don't stub my toe. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to allow people to bump their heads a little bit, and it's very hard. Because again, especially if you come from a place, or like, I knew that I didn't, well, maybe I didn't consciously know this, but I'm sure this is facts. Like, I didn't want my child to struggle because I, and a lot of parents can say this, I struggled so much. I struggled so much. So I was kind of like a hovering mother. Like, you know how some mothers are just kind of like overprotective? So for example, if I saw my child going down the stairs of a, or of a, like a public, like let's say at the mall, you know how they have the handrails at the mall, and I see she's going down the stairs and she's doing totally fine, but she wants to slide her hand up and down the railway on the way down, right? Which is disgusting to me. I'm the kind of mother who'd be like, stop holding the handrail and just hold my hand so that way you don't have to touch all those germs. Like, just very, I could be very clingy or hovery or whatever the word is. And that's definitely not healthy, but it's just, it's such a fine line because again, you don't want your child to struggle. Or for example, if I'm the parent, or I was the parent where, let's say, and this has never happened, but this is instantly popped to mind. Let's say that your child wasn't invited to a birthday party that they wanted to go to or something because all the kids from the class are, or a lot of the kids from the class are going or whatever, but your child wasn't invited for whatever reason, right? I will be the parent that will be like, okay, you know, F them kids, right? I'm being real, F them kids. Let's go to Disneyland for 2 days and stay at the hotel. That way you can feel better. And I'm gonna buy you all these things, and I don't know, buy you all the balloons and buy you the outfits, and let's get your hair done too so that you can be cute. And oh, let's go get mani-pedis. And like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, really doing everything that I could within my financial power, obviously at the time, to make sure that she, or I was trying to like control, really that's what it is. I'm trying to control this other person's happiness. Or maybe you're like, you're trying to control someone else's happiness. You're trying to control someone else's, like, you don't want them to get those bumps and bruises, right? Or you're trying to continue shelling out for people financially or emotionally because you don't want them to be in a deficit, or because you know what it's like to feel down, or you know what it's like to be completely flat broke because you made bad choices. But someone, you know, else that you see in that position, you're just like, I don't want that for them because I know what it feels like, and I just want everybody to be happy and have the best life and never experience pain and always experience joy and all those beautiful things that we deserve to feel, right? But it's like, you are not in control of that. Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Waze Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Waze Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Waze Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Waze Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE. You're not in control of that. And that's why I say that some of you are doing too much. You're just doing too much. And I know how hard it can be to see someone struggle with something. Or like if you have a child, or let's say you have a friend, for example, you have a friend who is I don't even know. I'm trying to think of something really quick. I don't even know. Someone, you have a friend who drinks a lot. I don't know. For example, you have someone who drinks a lot, or you have a friend who always picks the wrong guy or girl. Okay, always picks the wrong partner, and you just see them bumping their heads over and over again. You want to step in and just solve all the problems and make sure that they're happy. You can't do that. Sometimes we have to let people hit their own personal rock bottom. Sometimes we have to allow our children to struggle. And so that they can kind of get some grit to them, if that makes sense, because the world is really not going to treat your friends, your family, your kids the way that you typically would, right? I ain't gonna lie. I would try to make my child happy. One of the things would be me cooking. Well, obviously, I'm a parent. I would, of course, want to cook healthy meals for my kid. But after a certain age, it's just like, bruh, it's time for you to start cooking. But because I was just so quick to make my kid happy, or, you know, make sure, it's like now this my kid, she can cook. Don't come for me. She can make some things. But she definitely, I don't feel like she can make as many things as she should be able to make at this age. Okay. And she's starting to branch out and make some things. That makes me very happy, to be honest with you. But I know that I hindered her a little too much. It's like, for example, if you have a newborn, not a newborn, but like a toddler, right? And you want to make that toddler happy. You don't want to see that baby fall and cry. Or you know how babies get frustrated because they can't walk, but they want to get somewhere. Have you ever seen a baby do that? And it's like, how long are you going to carry them? How long are you going to allow them to just stay nestled in your arms, not learning how to walk, not learning that, you know, I better avoid this wall. I better not walk in or crawl into this wall, or, you know what I'm saying? We have to allow people to experience life on their own terms. And we really, as much as we don't want to be, if we're doing too much, it can become a hindrance. It can stop being a blessing. It can become a hindrance. There is a such thing as just really just doing too much. And it's draining for you as well. There's no way that you can fully focus on your liberation and your peace and your happiness and the joy that you deserve as you experience your own ups and downs in life, which again are very natural. If you are trying to dictate and control the journey for everyone else and not wanting them to ever experience any sad times or not ever experience any lows, like you're not doing them any favors. And unfortunately, we have people that, if allowed, they will just hang on for dear life to you because that's all they know, and they know that they can come to you. And you'll always make everything okay. You'll always make everything okay. But sis, that's not your job. That's not your job. Everything has a season, right? Everything has a season. So just like how I have my kid, there's going to come a time when she won't be in the house. She won't be in the house. And she will really have to go out there and just forge a life of her own. And if I did my job as a parent the way that I feel that I wanted to parent her, I should say, then she will understand, you know, how to navigate those ebbs and flows of life and or know how to get support or know that support is available, right? Either through me in some capacity or like community, sister circles, relationships, partnerships, creating a village of her own, learning, you know, how to navigate things. Like, there's different paths, obviously, but what I'm saying is, like, our jobs are to prepare, but that doesn't mean that our jobs are also to just prevent certain feelings and things from happening, especially if you've already provided them with so much support, education, resources, understanding, guidance, things like that. Sometimes people just have to experience life on their own before they really, really get it and for things to really click and dial in. So even though some of us have really struggled, like we struggled in our past and we know what it was like to have just a really harmful parts of our life happen. And so that we want to, that desire kicks in for us to want to always smooth things over, always make sure, for example, our children don't skin their knees and that they're always in the house and smiling and they have everything their heart desires and it makes them happy, which having everything in life does not make you happy, by the way. I don't know if anybody told you that, but don't drink the Kool-Aid. Having everything in life, okay, as much as society wants to show us online that having everything on in life makes you happy, having the every latest and greatest thing in life, the newest iPhone, the newest cars, the newest, or like just having all these amazing things that I can't even name because I can't think of really big, great, amazing things. I can't. Or having the biggest house on the block, baby, the biggest house on the block, and the fanciest, most expensive cars in the garage, and I don't know, whatever else floats your boat that you've been kind of pining away for. I don't know. But having the latest and greatest and the biggest and best of everything always at your disposal, that doesn't make you happy. Because you can have all those things. Your kid could have all those things. Your family members could have all those things. Your partner could have all those things. Your bestie could have all those things. And that person could still be absolutely freaking miserable. Absolutely freaking miserable. Okay, so having all the things means absolutely nothing, and it changes absolutely nothing on the inside. Having everything is not what doing the work looks like. Having amazing things could be like the result of doing the work. Like if you shift your mindset and you figure out what you value and you learn some things and you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, It possibly can reflect in you just living a better life externally, but having, it's like an inside out kind of thing, if that makes sense. It's an inside out thing. Having all the things externally will not translate into you at your core being your best self, being your most whole self, being your happiest self, being your like healthiest self. Again, all the emotions included and experiencing all those ups and downs and things like that, and still inside being whole, being okay. Because experiencing bad things is like, that doesn't mean that you are not whole. Does that make sense? But that external stuff is not what's going to get it, and it's not going to get it for you, and it's not going to, and you doing all those things externally for people, giving them money, picking them up all the time, giving them rides. Like I used to take my daughter to work all the time. I love her to pieces, but I used to take her to work all the time. So it would be like a weekend and I've got to pick her, take her to work. I might be resting on the couch or whatever, doing absolutely nothing. I've got to take someone to work and then pick them up again. Like, make it make sense. Like after a certain age, it's like there's a bus stop available. And you know, these newfangled kids, they ain't catching no bus, honey. They are not catching the bus. So she had to start Ubering sometimes. Like, I, it's okay for whoever I'm talking about, this person in your life, it's okay for them to learn how to navigate the world on their own terms. Might be hard for them in the beginning, but it's okay. All right. Because again, if you are trying to control someone's happiness, you are doing them and yourself a disservice. You're doing them and yourself a disservice, right? You cannot control someone else's happiness. Some of us get into relationships with our partners or previous partners, and you want them to be happy. So you put on a front. You pretend to be someone that you're not. You pretend to be like whatever you think is going to float their boat and just make them love you because they're so happy and so in love with you and all these things. Like, that is not a relationship, not a healthy one. Your partner cannot make you happy. You cannot make your partner happy. You understand what I'm saying? There will be good times and happiness, but as far as like, I'm talking about that core, again, inner happiness, that real happiness. Your partner cannot give that to you. Your partner cannot give that to you, and you cannot control that for your partner. As much as we try to just wrap and mold ourselves into all these things for all these people and just continue to give of ourselves and give away and support and, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, it's not real and it's not possible. It's not real and it's not possible. So I suggest to you, because this is what I have to do, and notice I didn't say had, I say have to do, because this still is something within me. Like, I just want certain people, like, for example, again, I'll just say my kid, I want her to be happy. I don't want her to feel sad like I felt sad during some things. But again, this is just a part of life. The difference being, right, I can support in an emotionally healthy way. Does that make sense? But yeah, just I have to remind myself that it's just not possible. It's just not possible. And so I would suggest for you taking that energy and investing some of that into yourself. Invest some of that into yourself. Because again, inside happiness, whatever that is for you, and there's different types of happiness, by the way. I learned a little bit about that today. But like one was, and this was from Mel Robbins video I saw on YouTube. I just watched a bit of it. But one type is, I can't even say the word, so I'm not even going to try. But one of them was like a short term, more pleasure centered happiness. So kind of like play or probably video games. I'm sure probably like sex or things like that. So it's like shorter term happiness. And then the other one was more kind of like a purpose driven happiness, a life-centered type of happiness. So there, and I'm sure there's other types of happiness as well, but those are the two that I learned about today. But again, taking that energy and investing that in yourself, whatever that looks like for you, that is something that I would highly recommend before you continue expending so much energy into really just trying to make everybody happy. Okay? Because you can't. You can't, but you can definitely do some things that will support you and support your real liberation, your real joy, your real happiness. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not selfish to invest in your happiness, whatever that looks like for you. Again, I'm not saying, or I don't think I said this, but I'm not saying to go out and buy all the things, because again, it's not necessarily external things that will give you that true happiness. How many times have you bought a new outfit and you're like, yeah, this is jamming. I'm going to be so sexy. I'm going to be so cute. All the boys are going to come to the yard. And you wear that outfit one time. And yes, you feel happy, beautiful, sexy, this and that. And then you put that outfit in your closet. And then the next time you wear it, it's just like, oh yeah, this is cute. And it still brings you a little bit of joy, but probably by like the fourth time you pull that thing out the closet, it's just going to feel like an old damn rag in a lot of cases. Does that make sense? Or like how you get that new car, you know, the one that you got to impress people that really you should give two shits about, excuse my French. You get that new car and you drive it around for a month and you are on top of the world. You are so, so happy. I've done that so many times. And I'm not embarrassed to say that because I've already shared that many times here over the course of the last few years. But you buy that car and you're showing it off and you just feel like a pimp. But by the time that first or possibly second car note rolls around and reality sets in and you realize that you have signed away your life, okay, for this car, which has a term of probably 48 to, I think they do 96 month loans now, maybe, I'm not even sure, but at least 4 year loan where you're paying $400, $500, $600 a month for this vehicle, sometimes probably even more than that. That quote unquote happiness, and this is how I know it's not true happiness sometimes, because sometimes that quote unquote happiness can turn into your misery. When we do things that are not responsible in the pursuit of quote unquote happiness, it is definitely not long term. And again, those things can turn into misery. Bad choices are always going to be a bad choice, no matter how you feel when you are initially doing that bad choice. I am proof. I'm proof of that over and over again in many different situations, all right? That happiness in the moment, it's not real happiness. Something in your brain lights up, it feels good, you know, feels daring or whatever the case may be. It's serving you in some way. It's filling some void that you have within you and inside of you for these external type of things. And when that magic is gone, it becomes like a handcuff. It becomes like a shackle. You are now enslaved to that thing that you thought was going to just make you so happy. So yeah, take some time, sis. And again, instead of, like, for example, making these choices and or trying to make everyone happy around you, trying to make sure that everyone is just having their best life ever, never experiencing any hurt, any pain, any grief, any struggle. Like, your job, you are not put here to ensure that someone else's life was struggle free. You are not put here to ensure that someone else always is, you know, living their most happiest life. It's not real. It's not. But what is real is you taking some of that really precious energy that you have, that energy that sometimes you are just so freely giving away, right? Take some of that and invest it back into yourself. What things light you up? Explore that. What things allow you to feel some kind of way? Explore that. Do that. Get outside. Feel the sun on your skin. Take up a new hobby. Do something different. Meet new people. Join some groups. Start painting. I want to, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, I really want to start playing the drums. I want to learn how to play the drums. I think that would be really good for my spirit. I can start banging on some stuff and getting out some of my feelings and, you know, different things like that, and just, you know, moving some of that energy around and creating some more space within me, if that makes any sense. But anyway, I digress. But there are different ways that you can invest in your happiness. And they're available to you, right? Sometimes it may take a little planning, but it doesn't have to be complicated to get started investing in your happiness, your joy. What does that look like for you? When is the last time you thought about it versus you running around behind someone else trying to make sure that they are happy, which again, you cannot control. You can't control that. I really want you to think about it this week. Okay? Yeah. All right, y'all. I feel like I have gone to church and back. But yeah, I would really love to hear your thoughts on this. Feel free to leave a comment if you're listening to this on Spotify. There's an area where you can leave a message where it says, like, what did you think about this week's episode? I would love to hear your thoughts about happiness and what that looks like for you these days. and how you're protecting your peace, your joy, and all those good things, excuse me. Or if you have a suggestion for upcoming episodes, you can also leave that there on Spotify. Or if you want to send me a message, feel free to do that. You can email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. That's connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, at browngirlselfcare.com. All right. Well, I hope that you are faring well with this, what is it, daylight savings shenanigans, which I think is a joke. I really do not like daylight savings time. So yeah, I was dragging this morning, but definitely feeling better now. But yeah, that hour snatching, it just does something to my spirit every single year. I don't like it. But I hope that in the meantime, before we connect again on Monday, that you have an amazing week, that you find some ways to spark joy and abundance and happiness and whatever else it is that you really are in need of at this time of your life. And I will see you next Monday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Take care.